We start with Kevin Edds. He is a filmmaker, director, producer. He is the brilliant mind and skills behind Wahoo Wah online at uvafootballhistory.com. It premiered last year at the Virginia Film Festival, and it is the complete documentary history of UVA Cavalier football. And Kevin, we are honored to welcome you back to the studio. How are you?
I'm well, Coy. How are you?
I'm good. You've traveled with your whole family down here to see the big game tomorrow.
Yes,
homecoming
forward.
And all sorts of good stuff in town this weekend. It's traffic on 29.
It was beautiful.
You just got off the road, didn't you?
Yeah, the leaves were falling. It was a beautiful fall day, very light traffic. It was great.
Good, good stuff. I'm glad to hear that. So, Kevin, you are here. We want to let folks know that you will also be appearing tonight on Best Seat in the House with Jay James, where you will discuss the history of the UVA-Georgia Tech rivalry.
That is correct. Yeah, with Jay and I, we'll have a fantastic talk looking back at the heartbreaking defeats on both sides.
Good stuff. And today, you are going to chat with us about a little history of UVA breaking the color barrier on the football field with the football team. And we have some clips that we're going to play for folks, including a little clip from Al Groh, Al Groh, who was here at the time that happened, and some others. But before we listen to the clips that you got interviewing people, set this up for us. Take us back in time a little bit about integration of students of color at UVA.
Yeah, well, in the mid-20th century, actually mid to early 20th century, it wasn't until 1935 that a black student named Alice Jackson applied to the university. And unfortunately, she was denied. And it wouldn't be for another 15 years before we would see an African-American actually enter the school. And this is Gregory Swanson, who entered the law school that year in 1950. Unfortunately, he transferred before graduating. But shortly thereafter, the following year in 1951.
And he was already an attorney. He already had a law degree. A lot of people don't know that, but he was already a practicing attorney.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. And I think he got his degree from Howard and then came here to take some extra classes.
Yes, exactly. So Walter Ridley then became the very first African-American to graduate, earning a doctorate from the Curry School of Education in 1953. So, but even though we see those instances, it wasn't until 1970, also when UVA first allowed women at the university, that we then start to see African-Americans being accepted into that first-year class.
So they had been students of color enrolled here for about 20 years before we see football players, before we see students of color actually putting on the uniform to play football.
Yeah, so mostly it was in these graduate classes that we would see the occasional African-American student, but in terms of the undergraduates, people that were accepted along with everyone else coming out of high school, out of their senior year of high school, it wasn't until 1970 where both women and African-Americans were accepted as, you know, into that first year class.
And I remember from some of my research, and you might remember this as well, I remember back in the 1890s reading some student editorials in the student newspaper, which at the time was called College Topics. And there were some editorials bemoaning the fact that when some of the athletes left school, they left their athletic clothing, which at the time only athletes wore the V, as they used to say. You had to earn that right, sort of like a Letterman sweater in high school. You had to earn the right to wear the V. It wasn't just on all types of kinds of sportswear as it is today. And they were complaining that students left their hat or their sweater behind when they graduated and would give it to local people of color, African-Americans, who were then seen at the games wearing that. And they hated that not only shouldn't other students not be able to wear it who aren't athletes, but they certainly didn't want African-Americans showing up wearing the UVA colors or wearing a V. You know, that was absolutely forbidden back in the 1890s.
Right. In the 1890s, as you know, is when the first instances of the orange and blue come into being at UVA, where UVA switched over from their traditional colors of the burgundy and silver, which was reminiscent of the Confederacy, and switched over to orange and blue in 1888.
Yeah. We're talking with Kevin Edds. He is the filmmaker behind the documentary film history, Wahoo Wah, the story of UVA Cavalier football. You can see clips and order your own DVD online at uvafootballhistory.com. It's 414 here in Charlottesville, 71 degrees. So, Kevin, take us now to 1970, 71. What happened? I mean, these students at UVA, they made history by putting on the football uniform for the first time.
Right. I think that there were just slightly under 200 African-American students that were part of what I think was an overall class of 1,700 that came to the university, of which four of those gentlemen were the very first scholarship football players at UVA. This also coincided with a former UVA player and alumnus, Al Groh, who was getting his, I think it's only his second year in the coaching ranks. He became the coach of the first-year team in 1970. Now, at that time, those four African-American players could not play on the varsity team because every student had to sit out a year or play on the first-year team, and Al Groh was their coach that year.
So he was then, Al Groh, holds the position then in UVA history of being the first football coach for African-American players. Is that how it works out?
Absolutely. And then he came back to be our head coach from 2001 until 2009.
And we're about to hear, set this clip up for us. Now, this is an interview you did with Al Groh for your film, Wahoo Wah. And set this up for us.
Sure. This is maybe something that wasn't entirely in the documentary, so this is what we'll call a bonus clip. But I asked Al, what was it like, you know, when you first came to the university as a coach as opposed to a student, and what was it like coaching these four gentlemen of color, you know, for the first time at the University of Virginia?
Not only was I starting out really with my first fully paid coaching job, coaching the freshman team, but I was starting out at the same time with the first four African-American players brought to the University of Virginia on grant and aid. Kent Merritt from right here in Charlottesville, Stanley Land from Rockbridge County, John Rainey from Tazewell, and Harrison Davis from Bethel in Hampton. So, you know, we all started together, and I was trying to find my way through things. They were too. I didn't walk in their shoes, so I can't say that I understand all of that, but I think I had an empathy with what they were doing, and clearly those barriers have gone down. It's been a great opportunity for a lot of those kids to come here. And Kent is in town here working for the university. We see him often. Harrison, Stanley Land. We continue to stay in touch and have a great relationship, and is a wonderful person, has had great success in the corporate world. And about 2 years ago, John, Harrison, Kent, and Stan all had a reunion here during the season. It was a great time seeing all of them together.
A bonus clip from Wahoo Wah, the film history of the University of Virginia's Cavalier football, online at uvafootballhistory.com. We're live in studio talking with filmmaker Kevin Eds about breaking the color barrier on the UVA football team, which the year is what, 1971? Is that when the fall of 71?
Right. So since those first year players could not play for the varsity, we will be celebrating the 40-year anniversary this season of African Americans playing on the varsity team here at the university.
Now, Al Groh mentioned a gentleman named Kent Merritt, who was among the first four African Americans to put on the uniform there and play for the Cavaliers. You also had an opportunity to interview him as well, right?
Yeah, we were fortunate to get Kent at one of the pavilions, you know, behind the lawn there, behind one of the residences there. It was a beautiful fall day last year, or 2 years ago, and I got to sit down with Kent and just pick his brain and ask him what it was like. And I was curious, you know, if there were, you know, any issues regarding race and how that, you know, played into the fact that they were athletes who were also, you know, considered big men on campus. So, you know, I wanted to get his thoughts on that, and that's what this next clip is about.
And he was from Charlottesville, right?
Correct.
Here's a bonus clip, an interview with Kent Merritt, one of the first African Americans to play for the Cavaliers.
Back then, I mean, there were several issues that were important as far as UVA was concerned, and myself in particular, and that was UVA had no black football players. And they said at the time was that they could not find any kids that had the academic wherewithal and the athletic ability in order to qualify to come here. And I was here in high school, and I was a high school All-American. I had all kinds of scholarships every place. So my father at the time worked for the JAG school. So there was a real push to encourage me to come to UVA to break that color barrier, or help break it. Of course, we were just 18-year-old kids, wanted to play football, and we just saw it as a great opportunity to come and play in college, which we all had wanted to do. And I think any problems that we were going to have with the school and race relations and that sort of thing were kind of like in the back of our minds. We didn't really put that at the forefront because football was most important to us.
They just wanted to play ball, didn't they?
They did.
That's an interview with Kent Merritt conducted by filmmaker Kevin Edds. And we're hearing some bonus clips that didn't make it into the documentary Wahoo Wah. It's 419 here in Charlottesville. You have some other clips here from Kent Merritt. Before we listen to him, I just have to say I'm always struck by when we look at this period of human history here, especially in Virginia, just how the courage that we see from kids who had the courage to walk through those school doors, whether it was elementary school or high schools, or walk out onto a football field for the first time as a young person of color to do these things. I mean, some of the greatest demonstrations of courage that we've seen in American history have come from children in these circumstances, and it never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, I think that just like we want in our military young people to come into the military is because maybe they don't know any better. But at the same time, you're right, it does take a lot of courage. And you wonder, when I talked to these four gentlemen, I think many of them thought, it's interesting, but I just want to play football. I think it's a great school. I'm going to get a great education. And that was really their main concern.
Yeah. We are talking with Kevin Edds, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. Peter is on the line. Peter, thank you for your call. You're on with Kevin. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kevin. I'm curious. I remember reading back in high school a book called All American as part of our reading. It was about a team that had this dilemma about whether to go play some national game because they were an all-white team and they were playing against a team that had black players on it. And I'm curious, that was this big thing about, well, what did they think about playing players of color? And I was wondering whether there was ever any episodes in the history of UVA where the team had the same kind of confrontation, where there was some rationale where they wouldn't play against another team because they had black players or anything of that sort.
That's a terrific question, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see in our documentary, we have a fantastic story about the first time in the southern United States where a college football game was played against an integrated team, and that happened, believe it or not, at the University of Virginia in 1947, right after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball. The Harvard team was coming down. They had a black player named Chester Pierce, and it started to raise some questions here because I think the game was scheduled before Chester Pierce even became a student at Harvard and joined the football team there. So when people found out, in the summer beforehand, before Harvard was going to come down, it started to raise some questions, and people at the university were concerned because they didn't want to have any unfortunate incidents. But they had a private meeting of the players who voted unanimously because, they actually gave them the right to sort of turn down this game, but they voted unanimously.
It gives me chills. The UVA players at this Southern school, the flagship Southern school, voted unanimously to bring this team here, knowing that it would be the first African-American football player to play in the South.
Yeah, and I interviewed two of Chester Pierce's teammates from that 1947 Harvard team, and I asked them, I said, I know that it took courage for not only Chester Pierce, but also for, the Harvard team to come down to the University of Virginia not knowing what to expect, but what did you think about your counterparts, those UVA football players? And I got a great response from one of them who said, you know what, it actually took a lot of courage from them to do something that maybe wasn't, as accepted by their family members or their friends who might have looked at them saying, really, you're going to do this? So yeah. I think that it took a lot of strength and courage on the UVA players' part, too.
And there were no incidents, protests or riots or anything at Scott Stadium?
No, nothing other than the normal, boos and jeers that you might get for any visiting team at Scott Stadium.
We're talking with Kevin Edds. Peter, thank you for the call. Let's go to Sherman. Sherman is on the line. Sherman, you're on with Kevin. You go right ahead. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. I'm just delighted that you're doing this program. I had the pleasure of growing up across the street from Kent Merritt and his family. And Kent was not only an outstanding athlete, he was an outstanding young man. And I think did very well in corporate America. I didn't know he was back in South, so I'm going to try to look him up. But, yeah, we had the great pleasure. My dad actually worked at the university for 40 years. And so I knew Mr. Merritt. And then Mac, Mrs. Merritt is still with him. So it's a wonderful thing that you're doing by highlighting this on your program.
Sherman, thank you so much. Appreciate the call, and always appreciate you you tuning in. Thank you very, very much for the kind words. It's 424 in Charlottesville. If you just joined us, we're talking with filmmaker Kevin Edds. He is the producer and filmmaker behind Wahoo Wah, the documentary film history of UVA Cavalier football. You can see clips and order a DVD online at uvafootballhistory.com. And we are talking about the breaking of the color barrier on the UVA football team in the fall of 1971, an anniversary we mark this season. And let's set up this next clip with Kent Merritt, the second clip here with him.
Sure. So I asked Kent to tell me about some of his more memorable moments, and I didn't want to limit that to just say a happy moment or a moment of success. So this is one where he gives us two quick stories here, and one of them is related to Harrison Davis, who Harrison, his teammate, you know, another African-American student at the university that year, was the quarterback. And Harrison, his second year at the university, was probably not scheduled to start as a quarterback, but the summer beforehand in training camp that August, the starting quarterback for UVA, a guy named Bill Troop, actually left the university. Some people thought that maybe he felt like he was going to get, you know, overtaken by Harrison Davis, so he left and transferred to the University of South Carolina. So Harrison is thrust into the starting role the very first game of the season, 1971, the first year any African-American has ever played at UVA. And Kent Merritt is in the backfield, so we have our first African-American quarterback tailback tandem here. So this is a little story from Kent.
Oh, I guess there are two. One is team-related, and one was specific to myself. The team-related incident was against Virginia Tech, playing here in Scott Stadium. Of course, everyone knows that's a big game between us and them, and we'd fallen behind them. Primarily on two Harrison Davis interceptions. Crowd, I mean, booing in the stands and a whole lot of unkind words being spoken, that sort of thing. But then we came back and won the game behind Harrison's leadership. That was a very important moment for us all. Secondly was my senior year, the Duke game, homecoming, I believe. Caught a pass, and I went all the way for the winning touchdown. So those two stick out in my mind.
He'll never forget that moment.
No, never, yeah. Never.
We got a few minutes left, and this third clip from an interview with Kent Merritt.
Sure, sure. So I asked Kent also to tell me about a little bit more about his three other teammates there, and whether there was any division in the team between the African American and the other players on the team, and he just tells me about what a great time it was.
Obviously, the four of us who signed. Grants and aides here is African Americans, Harrison Davis, Stanley Land, and John Rainey. We still are close. We remain close. You know, several players. I think the camaraderie on the team kind of was extraordinary, I think, for that time. I also was involved in the track team, and there are several of my teammates who I see on a yearly basis and have seen for a yearly basis for quite some time. And I think that, you know, we are happy to see each other. Whenever we get back.
That's Kent Merritt, one of four of the original African-Americans to put on the football uniform and play for the Cavaliers back in the fall of 1971. We're talking with filmmaker Kevin Eds. You can learn more online at uvafootballhistory.com. Kevin, just to wrap up here, you were telling me one time about a conversation you had with one of the white students who had played with these African-Americans, and it's an amazing takeaway lesson that he got.
Yeah. So the last clip we heard, you know, we're hearing about Kent and his affection for the university and coming back to visit, this being homecoming weekend. I'm sure that he's looking forward to that too. But I had a chance to actually interview John Rainey, another one of those four gentlemen. And John was the one that told me this story about one of his teammates, you know, a white teammate. And he said that when they came back to school, you know, 20 years later, and they had a reunion, they were talking, and he said that, you know, his white teammate said, John, you know, I got to tell you, like, everything I learned as a kid when I grew up was wrong. Everything that I was taught about African Americans, after I met you four and learned what great people you were, what great teammates, what great friends you are, you know, you'll be my friend forever. He said, I had to go home and look at people in the face and say, you lied to me. You know, so that, you know, again, it was just, it's just, it's a great story. It's a sad story at the same respect, but it's great that these guys have these bonds with their teammates in for over 40 years now.
Kevin Eds, the film is Wahoo Wah. It's online at uvafootballhistory.com. Stick around. Kevin will join Jay James on the best seat in the house tonight for a continued discussion about the UVA-Georgia Tech rivalry. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. And for this great work that you've done.
Thanks, Corey.